Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. We will pick up reading in verse 1, and we will, as I like to say, ride into our passage beginning in verse 6. Tonight, I believe what God is hoping to, or no, what God is saying, and I believe that we need to understand is the witness of Jesus' life as borne out or testified by the Spirit is integral into our belief as Christians. As we've already looked, we've saw these statements of belief, and what do you believe about Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Do you believe that Jesus came in the flesh? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And John has shown us that these are very, very important teachings to Christianity. They're imperative. As I studied this text, many of the commentators alluded to a heresy that seemed to have come on the scene around this time, around the end of the first century, which John seems in some ways to allude to or address in what we're going to be looking at tonight. The heresy goes something like this, in that Jesus was a man, and at the baptism, the Spirit of Christ, the Anointed One, came down upon Him and was upon Jesus during His earthly ministry, but sometime prior to the crucifixion, the Spirit of Christ left Him, and Jesus alone died upon the cross as a mere man. Now, what is this heresy teaching? What is the push behind this? Well, it's certainly against the incarnation of Jesus, that He's the God-man in human flesh, fully God and fully man. It's against the sufficient atonement of Jesus Christ, in the fact that He died upon the cross as the God-man. He was the perfect sacrifice and sufficient to pay for our sins. It speaks against Jesus Christ as being the Savior, because if He didn't die upon the cross and shed His blood, then Jesus' blood wouldn't have been sufficient. And so it really just confuses and muddies the waters for those that were seeking to believe. And this is what false teachers will do. This is what the devil does. He seeks to confuse people with almost truths, with things that look like truth and sound like truth, and sadly, so often we'll hear it today, that are intellectually brilliant, but yet they contradict God's Word. It's sad to see how so many are drawn away with the intellectual arguments and get lost in the volumes and discussions, and they miss the true message of the Scriptures. If you've known me for any length of time, you've noticed, I hope, I avoid labels. I try to avoid certain kinds of terms. I want to use what the Bible uses in those terms, because I don't want us to be distracted by what this guy might have taught, or this guy might have taught, or what this book says, or that book says. And I'm not against those things necessarily, but they can become a distraction from the truth. So there's this existence, seemingly, that there's this wrong belief or heresy that John seems to be confronting as well. So let's pick it up here in verse 1. Just pay attention to some of those things that I've alluded to as we read. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Well, this is an interesting passage. And it has its challenges in interpretation. But I believe the overarching emphasis is clear. Jesus' life and his death upon the cross are true and attested by the Spirit of God and integral, important to one's belief, one's faith. What you believe about Jesus Christ must include that he came in the flesh, that he is the Son of God. Looking at verse 6, we begin to see these concepts of water and blood. This is he that came by water and blood. Who is he? He tells us it is Jesus Christ. Now notice the name he uses. Jesus Christ. We should know the significance of that name, or those names together. Jesus being the name that he was given when he was born. It is the name that means Jehovah saves. Yeshua. Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, that title that Jesus carried, linking him to the Old Testament prophets as the promised one to come. Well, he came by water and blood. What does this water and blood refer to? You see it referenced three separate times. Here in verse 6, twice, he came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, significant, but by water and blood. And then you see it down later in verse 8. There are three that bear witness, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree. So as we think about what does that water and blood refer to, this is a question that many will go back and forth on. And my understanding of it is that this is John's way of referencing Jesus' earthly ministry. How do we see that? Well, because the reference to water would allude to his baptism, where his ministry, earthly ministry, began. Blood would refer to his death, his crucifixion, where his blood was shed upon the cross. This is a common interpretation of this passage. There are others, but I like this one because of its emphasis upon Jesus' earthly ministry, and it stands against the heresy that many believe were that John was speaking against during those days that I've already alluded to and spoken of. Water being an allusion to Jesus' baptism, and blood speaking of his death. Now, as you think about water and Jesus' life, you think about how he used that term often with the woman at the well. They spoke of living water. We think of the time at the Feast of Tabernacles, and seemingly they were doing the ceremony of the water from the pool of Siloam to the temple. And Jesus spoke of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And John tells us that's speaking of the Holy Spirit. But at the baptism, something significant did happen in conjunction with the Spirit of God, right? What happened at the baptism? Jesus stepped down in the water, and when he came up out, there was a dove that came down, and it was clear, according to the Scriptures, that this signified the Spirit of God coming down upon him. And at that moment, the Father identified his Son, speaking from heaven, "Behold, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And one of the glimpses that we have of the Trinity, all united there in that scene together. We know that the blood is so significant to Christianity. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ tells us that he was fully man. A spirit does not bleed blood. A man bleeds. But we know that Jesus Christ was more than just a man. He claimed so. He claimed to be, "I and the Father are one." And he was identified as the Son of God on numerous occasions. God the Father spoke of him as his Son. We know from the accounts of the crucifixion that Jesus' blood was spilt. And the body of the New Testament following the Gospels rely solely upon this truth for salvation, that Jesus shed blood, and that that blood was the remission of sins through that blood. And so it is this blood that is not just some normal man's blood, but it is the blood of the Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God, as John the Baptist says, has come to take away the sins of the world. Something else that I believe is interesting to note is just flip over to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation, I believe, was also written by the Apostle John. And in Revelation chapter 5, there's this incredible scene of there's a scroll that has seven seals, and there's no one worthy to open the scroll. But then in verse 5, so in Revelation 5:5, we read, "And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not! Oh, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. Stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. The Lamb that was slain, the one who brought about redemption, is seen there in heaven. So this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, speaking against this heresy that, oh, he got baptized, but that was it. It's not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Don't ever discount the Spirit's role in your life. And see, John is emphasizing that here. I mean, he's talking about faith and what you believe. But how do you know what to believe, dear ones? You see, the Spirit of God has opened our hearts and our minds to the truth of the Word of God and has helped us have an accurate understanding of it. And so the Spirit has bore witness. The Spirit is truth, and this is indeed what Jesus called him, the Spirit of truth. You remember back in John's Gospel, when he was seeking to comfort his disciples prior to his arrest, he was told them about the Spirit of truth who was to come, who would guide them unto truth, who would be their comforter. You see, the Spirit of God was intimately or intricately involved in Jesus' coming and his ministry. Remember what happened at his birth? It was conceived by the Holy Spirit, right? And the Holy Spirit intricately a part of that process. Jesus did not have any earthly human father. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about how he was involved in the baptism of Jesus and coming down and dwelling upon him. And the Scriptures tell us that, you know, right after that baptism, the Spirit led him into the wilderness. And so you see, off Jesus goes with the Spirit. And then what we have is we have the Spirit bearing witness to us of what took place as Jesus went to the cross. All four Gospels tell us this. All four Gospels tell us how Jesus was arrested, how Jesus went from one trial to another, was beaten, how he went to the cross, and there upon the cross, he died. And the Spirit, through the Scriptures, tells us these things. And I believe to be truly consistent with the entirety of Scriptures, we have to understand and believe that the Jesus that died upon the cross was the Jesus that was baptized in the Jordan River. That one that was fully God, yet fully man. The one who would answer to God's demand for perfect blood, for a perfect sacrifice. If it wasn't Jesus, then there was no perfect sacrifice. Jesus clearly answers that through an honest reading of the Spirit's inspired word. The Spirit bears witness in your heart and in my heart of the truth to help you understand and what to believe about Jesus, that He is the Christ, that He came in the flesh, that He is the Son of God. Something interesting in verse 7, many of you, as we read through that, if you had a translation other than the KJV, may have wondered where I was reading or what I was reading. Some translations leave out a portion of verses 7 and 8 due to lack of textual evidence, manuscript evidence. I'm not going into all of that tonight. But what I do want to do is just give you the overall emphasis of these two verses. And for your interest's sake, in verse 7, in heaven, you see that phrase, in heaven? From that point, from in heaven down to verse 8, in earth, that portion is in question because it is not in very many manuscripts. The majority of manuscripts do not have that portion. The thought is that someone added it along the line. I've read arguments for both. And I don't want you to get lost in all of that. Because the message still remains clear. There is a witness. And we, as in verse 7, and as this portion says, we do believe that there are three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In this text, it uses the Word. We believe that to be true, and we believe that the body of Scriptures emphasizes that. We do not have to rely on this text alone to hold to the doctrine of the Trinity. And we understand that they bear record of Jesus Christ. But I believe what is more the emphasis of John is this, verse 8, and there are three that bear record or bear witness, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. Fitting with this context of speaking of the important role that the Spirit plays in our life and helping us to know the truth and emphasizing the validity of Jesus' earthly ministry from the baptism all the way to the cross. These things bear witness of the truth. These all agree on the identity of Jesus as the Son of God, as coming in the flesh, as the Christ. The Spirit does not bear witness of any other in this regard. There is none other whose life answers to the water and the blood. To having been baptized and then shedding one's blood. Jesus, with Jesus, it fits. So verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And we understand that, right? I mean, we should have an even greater respect for the things that God says over the things of men. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which He hath testified of His Son. And so what John is preparing to do is he's preparing this to say, this is God's witness, God's testimony concerning his son. And he will pick that up in verse 11. But before he gets to that, we have verse 10. And this is John saying, now listen, this I'm going to tell you what God testifies about his son, but this is why it's so important. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. How is that true? We have God's Spirit within us. You know what, dear ones? God's Spirit helps us in our faith and in our belief. This is why the doctrine of the indwelling Spirit of God in a believer's life is so key to the church. Because when we are born again, regenerated, it is the work of the Spirit of God within us that renews us and that helps us to understand the truth and strengthens our faith. So he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Why? How's that true? Made who a liar? Made God a liar. Why? Because God has told us what the truth is. And if you are not going to believe it, then what you're essentially saying is, God, you're lying. What you're saying is not true. That's a bold, bold thing, isn't it? He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And now here's the record. Verse 11, and this is the record. Are you ready? Are you excited? You want to know? All right, we're going to stop here. And this is the record. See, the thing is, you can always read ahead, guys. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You might say, well, wait a minute. I understand that. Good. That's God's record. That's God's testimony. That's the truth. I don't need to labor on it because you get it. The matter of the fact is, the question is, are you going to believe it? If I were preaching to a crowd of people tonight that I didn't know if you were believers tonight, this would be powerful, right? Because here's God bearing a witness and God's testimony to you in your life. Let me share it with you, folks. It's that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And so you're out there and you're listening to this, and so the question is, well, do I have eternal life? Where do I find eternal life? It is in His Son. Who's His Son? It's Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the one who came in the flesh. God's Spirit came upon Him and He ministered all the way to the cross, giving His life, shedding His blood, and rose again, showing victory over sin and over death. But here's the truth, here's the reality. He that hath the Son hath life. And here's the stark contrast. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So tonight, you either have life or you don't. And if you're here tonight and you don't know, is the Spirit bearing witness in your heart tonight? Because if you know the Son, The Spirit bears this truth in your life that you have believed and you have eternal life. But there may be some tonight that you don't know. Well, God's Spirit is showing you the truth tonight. And you are hearing God's direct testimony of what the truth really is. Church, this is our message. This is the message you and I carry as we go into our workplaces, as we spend time with our friends. This is the message. This is the message that the Spirit of God has stirred up in your heart and you have believed. And you can walk through life with a confidence. We can rejoice with a brother who has just passed away, that he has gone on to heaven because he has believed in the Son. He has life. And this life is more than just a party time here on this earth. No, this life is an eternal life that stretches far beyond what we know here and now. This is our message, church. And John here is giving that to us, reminding us that this is what it really boils down to. Lord, I thank you for the clarity of your word and how exciting it is to spend time in it and to be doused in its truth, to be all wet with this. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that you are giving your people, us as the church, to carry forth this message. Thank you for eternal life, that hope that we have. Oh, what a blessing it is, Lord, to be able to walk through life with that hope, that truth. Oh, I pray now that you would encourage and build up your people for the week to come. And I pray, Lord, that as this message goes forth from our lips, that you prepare the hearers, and that we would see much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.